I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with James Rickards as we're talking about his book that just came out called Sold Out, How Broken Supply Chains, Surging Inflation, and Political Instability Will Sink the Global Economy. James, 1973, the Arab oil embargo, that was a premeditated supply chain issue, but we got through that, didn't we?
We got through it, but at a very high cost. And George, you just put your finger on one of the key issues, not only of the 1970s economy, but about what's going on today and the supply chain. So just to make a distinction, you're right. 1973, as a result of the Arab-Israeli war at the time, the Arabs and OPEC embargoed oil to the U.S. Prices quadrupled. They went from, sounds funny today, but from $3 a barrel to $12 a barrel, but yeah. Going up by four times. It was a shock, and it threw the economy into a recession at the time, and it also kicked off a round of inflation. But the problem is, everyone knows what inflation is. You know, I go to the gas station, I go to the grocery store, I see it, and we all do. The question is, where does inflation come from? And it can come from two places. One is exactly what we just described. It can come from the supply side. There's a supply chain disruption, there's an embargo, there's a strike, a railroad strike, whatever it may be, supply gets messed up and prices go up because people are bidding for fewer and fewer goods. But the other place inflation comes from is the demand side. And this is when consumers have these expectations. So maybe you're thinking of buying a new refrigerator or whatever, and you say, well, there's no hurry, I'll get it in 3 months. But if the prices are going up, you say, hey, I better go out and buy it right now because I'm going to pay a higher price in 3 months when I actually go to buy it. So I go buy it now. That's called demand pull inflation. You're pulling all that demand forward. Now, but that's mainly psychological. You just get in your head the prices are going up. Now, what happened in the 70s, we started out with supply chain inflation, the Arab oil embargo, exactly what you said. But in the late 70s, it morphed into the demand inflation. The consumers just said, I got to get everything. That's when, you know, gold went from $35 an ounce to $800 an ounce. I was starting my career at the time. They used to just hand out raises. They would give us a $20,000 raise. That was a lot of money back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because they were afraid, you're going to quit or leave your job or whatever. And then, you know, Paul Volcker came in, took interest rates to 20%, crushed it. So that's the whole kind of history of the 70s and the early 80s. Now, here we are today. We have the same supply chain shocks. Some of it is coming from energy because of the embargo on Russian oil and natural gas, cutting off Russian natural gas to Western Europe. The UK special forces, with U.S. permission, blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. There's just a lot going on. So we're getting that supply side inflation, and it's real. But the question is, has it morphed into the demand inflation? Have consumers changed their attitudes? So far, we don't see that. People see the higher prices, for sure. But I'll give you a concrete example. So let's say you've got a Ford F-150 pickup truck, and it used to cost you $75 to fill up your tank. Well, now it's $150 because the price of gasoline has practically doubled over the course of the past year. Well, that's called inelastic demand. You got to put that gas in your truck because you got to get to work or take
right.
to school or whatever it may be. But it means that the $75 you're not going to spend on something else. So it might mean you don't go out for dinner, you don't go to a concert or a sporting event, or you don't buy a new suit or a new dress or whatever it may be. And so that's actually dragging the economy down. So here's the difference. Supply chain inflation tends to snuff itself out. It's real, no denying it. But because of what I'm describing, you know, restaurants close, businesses fail, unemployment goes up, we're getting very close to that tipping point stage. We're getting very close to a recession. You know, there's an old saying in economics, the cure for high oil prices is high oil prices, because it destroys a lot of demand elsewhere in the economy. Now, has it morphed into the consumer side? Not yet. And the Fed's going to make sure it doesn't. The Federal Reserve, I mean, going back to Catherine Fitch, your prior guest, the Federal Reserve is raising rates systematically to destroy demand. But here's, you know, you raise mortgage rates enough, the monthly payment goes up, and all of a sudden housing prices come down. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing, you know, a lot of job losses as well, layoffs announced every day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So we're seeing that side of things. But the question is, if the problem's coming from the supply side, the Federal Reserve, can't do anything about the supply side. They don't drill for oil. They don't plant crops. They don't drive trucks. They don't refine diesel fuel. They can't do anything about the supply side. They can only destroy demand. But how much demand do you have to destroy to snuff out inflation coming from the supply side? The answer is a lot. And that's going to throw us into a very severe recession. We're getting into it right about now. And so a lot of investors and everyday Americans, they're not ready for this. They're kind of ready for inflation, like, oh, buy real estate or maybe buy gold or other bonds, actually, if you want to prevent inflation or make money during inflation, I should say. But they're not ready for disinflation and deflation, and that's coming very soon.
The most recent supply chain issue was the baby formula shortage caused by that plant that had some contaminations, and I think they shut the plant down. But that was a disaster, and they're still wounded by that, aren't they?
Yes, and that was a complete disaster. And that's a really good example of what you said earlier, George, about the domino effect. So the supply chain problem is already there. That started in mid to late 2021, and we saw it in I tell the story of a famous place in New York called Junior's Cheesecake. It's kind of a well-known brand. They couldn't make cheesecake because they couldn't get cream cheese. Cheesecake is 83% cream cheese. So that was, maybe mildly humorous or upset somebody's cheesecake, but that was real. But when you got to the baby formula situation, that was really in April 2022 and still persisting, much more acute. That was self-inflicted. Now, sadly, there were a couple of infant deaths, and they have to be investigated. And so the FDA looked at this one baby formula plant, which makes a very large percentage of all the baby formula in the U.S., and said, well, we're shutting you down until we get to the bottom of this. By the way, there never was a linkage proved. I followed up on that case. There was the deaths were sad, but it was never linked to that formula plant. But they shut it down without realizing what was that going to do to all the mothers and all the infants and caretakers in the country when you couldn't get the baby formula. And then it was worse than that, because there's a government program called WIC, which it's not welfare, but it basically gives you subsidies to buy baby formula, which, poor parents, that's a big help. But because it's government, of course, there were regulations, and they specified which kind of baby formula qualified for this supplemental payment. Well, the answer was it was the same formula that they shut down. So now it was not just a supply chain issue, which it was, but, poor low-income mothers couldn't get the financial assistance they needed to buy formula at all because they couldn't switch to another brand because it didn't qualify for the subsidy. So without kind of, getting too deep in the weeds, there's one bureaucratic decision by the FDA. I'm sure they weren't thinking about the supply chain. They were just going by the book in terms of what you do when you have to investigate a matter.
Right.
But nobody in charge could make an exception or think it through or say, well, what does this really mean? So that was self-inflicted damage on top of an already bad situation. But it shows how these supply chains are so interconnected. When you mess up one piece, you're going to mess up a lot else that you don't even realize.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Jim, is the Russian-Ukraine situation contributing to supply chain issues?
In a huge way, and ways that, and by the way, George, that's a topic I happen to know a lot about. I worked for the intelligence community for 10 years, and one of my specialties was exactly that. Now, there's a government agency called CFIUS, and when you say it, people go, does it burn or itch, you know, but it's an acronym. It stands for Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, where you look at when foreign companies are buying U.S. companies, you look at it from a national security perspective. Are we giving away, you know, technology to the Chinese or whatever? And I was part of a team in the intelligence community that did the background work on that. We didn't make the decision, but we would do the collections from various sources and then report in, was this a threat or not? You know, kind of doing that kind of work, I got very familiar with economic sanctions and economic warfare. I actually teach that at the U.S. Army War College. So the answer is yes, but now you've got the Treasury. I promise you Janet Yellen knows nothing about what we're talking about right now. She's the Secretary of the Treasury, but she's kind of a statistics geek, labor economist from Berkeley. She doesn't really get what we're talking about. She has a Deputy Treasury Secretary, Wally Adeyemo. He's in charge of these sanctions. Brilliant lawyer. I don't take anything away from him as a lawyer, but doesn't know anything about the real world or the real economy. So they're slapping all these sanctions on Russia. We're not buying. Russia can't get semiconductors. We're not buying the oil and gas. But it's worse than that. It goes to strategic metals, aluminum, titanium, fertilizer, etc. And then Russia, of course, shot back with their own sanctions. We're not going to export those things. Well, time out. Boeing makes aircraft in the United States, and 35% of the aluminum and titanium comes from Russia.
Wow.
A lot of course, oil and natural gas, we all know about that. Very few people realize that 25% of all the wheat exports in the world, all of them in the world, come from Ukraine and Russia. And, of course, with a war like this, that's a lot of that shut down. The ports are shut down. The Black Sea is a pretty dangerous area right now. And so there's so many things that lithium, cobalt. Everyone's touting electric vehicles. Well, how do they run?
And how about these computer chips out of what, China?
Well, yes, China. Well, that's a very good point. Now, when we say China, let's be specific, we're talking about Taiwan. Now, of course, China says
that's
China
theirs.
Says Taiwan is part of China.
Yeah.
But the biggest, most sophisticated manufacturer of semiconductors in the world is called Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, TSMC. So they just announced that they were spending $20 billion to build two new plants, called semiconductor fabrication plants, fabs for short. They're spending $20 billion to build two fabs in Arizona. So wait a second. Why is a Taiwan-based company building their fabs in Arizona? Well, the U.S. military has a doctrine. It's called the Broken Nest Doctrine. When, interestingly, a broken nest comes from a Chinese proverb. And the proverb is, if the nest is broken, how can the eggs exist? And the answer is they can't. And what that means is if China invades Taiwan, the United States are going to burn Taiwan semiconductor facilities to the ground. But, you know, probably bomb them, but whatever. They're going to destroy those facilities because they don't want the Chinese to get them. Well, Taiwan Semiconductor know that, so they're going to build plants in Arizona.
That's interesting.
So this is an example of the new supply chain where actually a lot of, I think the U.S. will be one of the winners here because a lot of these high-paying jobs will come back to the United States.
It is just, the whole situation is bizarre. You've talked about how the airline industry suffered with a supply chain issue. What happened to them?
Well, that's another great version of, again, what we've been talking about, the cascade effect or the domino. So a couple of things were happening at once, actually three separate things. So there's something called avionics. Avionics is just, you know, aviation electronics. So all the fancy stuff you see in the cockpit of a plane, that's all backed by avionics. For historic reasons, going back to World War II and, you know, other reasons that are hard to explain, a lot of the avionics industry is based around Wichita, Kansas. Now, you know, it's not unusual. The Silicon Valley is all out in San Jose. There are big medical research centers near Raleigh, North Carolina. So it's not unusual when you have expertise. The experts want to be with other experts. But a lot of the people who do this happen to be, you know, in their 40s and 50s, you know, largely white. It's a conservative demographic that didn't want to get vaccinated. But they were all subject to Biden's vaccine mandate. They were told they had to get vaccinated. So they started leaving or quitting their jobs or starting small companies that weren't subject to the regulations, et cetera. So you had this disruption in the avionics industry. At the same time, we're rolling out 5G, 5G cellular networks. And this is AT&T and Verizon. They're putting up all these towers and all this stuff. Well, it turns out that 5G interferes with the avionics on existing aircraft. So it's not an impossible problem. You've got to adjust the avionics so the interference doesn't occur. But what does that mean? It means you got to go to these folks in Wichita and get the changes made. But they were all out of work or quitting or starting new businesses because of the vaccine mandate. So they couldn't keep up with it. It was so bad that Transportation Secretary Buttigieg and the head of the Federal Aviation Administration had to send a joint letter. So why does the Transportation Secretary and the FAA sign a letter? It was the Federal Telecommunications Agency, sorry. Why are telecommunications and transportation sending a letter to AT&T and Verizon telling them to slow down the rollout of 5G near airports? Because they couldn't get the avionics. What was that? What caused that? They didn't want to take the vaccine. So all the cancellations that people recall with the horror, you know, last December, January, thousands of flights canceled, and, you know, the airlines are like, oh, it's the weather. Well, it's always the weather, you know. But the real reason was they couldn't get these avionics fixed. But now slowly they're working their way through it. Maybe it's a little better now. But, again, a good example of somebody in Washington throws on the vaccine mandate, and next thing you know, you can't get your aircraft off the ground because they're not adjusted for 5G rollout, and you had to tell AT&T to slow down. So, again, it just shows you how complex these things are, and you make one little rule and it breaks down the whole supply chain.
Jim, is this supply chain issue fixable, or is it going to be a problem?
It's going to persist as a problem. It will be fixed in the long run. And George, I spoke to an individual who's CEO of a, you know, Fortune 10 company, he is the single individual most responsible for building out modern supply chains. Now, of course, there were millions of people all over the world involved, but his company and their technology really drove this process. And he said to me, Jim, you have to understand, it took us 30 years to build this. We blew it up in about 3 years. It's going to take 10 years or more to rebuild it in a new form. It's not going to be overnight. So right now we're in a messy kind of messed up, muddling through period where things don't work quite right. Yes, stuff still gets delivered. It's not like you go in the supermarket and every shelf is bare. It's not like East Germany in the 1950s. But there'll be something missing. It could be paper goods or hot sauce or bread or whatever it may be. But I'm sure all of your listeners have experienced, just even today, not even a year ago, going around and finding out this isn't here, something else is missing. So it is going to persist.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.